Alrighty, everybody. Welcome back to another episode recap. I'm your host, Mike Lewis, and I'm joined by my fellow co-host, Lauren Blair Donovan.
Hello.
I made sure to get every syllable of your name this time around.
My name's a mouthful. Thank you.
Yeah, we're here to break down and cover episode 5 of this season, Challenge 39, Battle for a New Champion. Real quickly, just to gloss over, because you know we didn't go over 3 and 4 last week. To both of our shock and dismay, and more so displeasure, I should say, we lost our homeboy Huey last episode.
I was so mad at that. He was like one of the only people that I'm like very invested in the season, and I'm like, no.
I know. I think like, and I tweeted this out too, and I actually. You know, shameless plug here. I interviewed Huey that dropped earlier this week. You guys want to go check that out? He had a lot to say about about what I'm about to touch on. Is that losing him from an entertainment standpoint this early into the season? It can't be overstated. Just no. Such a huge blow because the margin here for like entertaining people and just entertainment, it's just like this narrow. So when you lose sort of like, I'd say at least from the guy's end of it, I don't know if that's your opinion, but I feel like he might be the most entertaining guy.
And we yeah. Yeah.
You know, he kind of touched on when I talked to him, like he gets it. Like he's subconscious that they're making a show at the end of the day. And like, yeah, you're here to compete for money. And it's a competition show at the root of it, but it's also a reality show at the core as well. And it just kind of seems like there's a lot of people, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's to just kind of lay low to protect their game or if they're concerned about how they might look and with like fan reception or worried about getting called back for the next one. It just kind of feels to me that a lot of people are holding back their personalities. I don't know if that's kind of what you got the impression of, but it seems like we've got a lot of like background characters. And don't get me wrong, there are people that have caught my eye, like, and have kind of, you know, stepped up and have had some, you know, zingers here and there. But it sort of kind of feels like there's some people that are just holding themselves back a little bit. I don't know. That's just kind of like my impression.
Yeah, sorry, I had a couple technical difficulties.
No worries.
No, I agree with you. I feel like there's some big, it's a Goldilocks situation, right? There's some mm-hmm. big personalities, like Berna's a huge personality. Michelle's a big personality. Corey's a big personality. They all have entertainment value for different reasons, but Huey was like the sweet spot because the rest are kind of boring, like you're saying, right? And then it's like, Huey's the sweet spot where he's like kind of an unproblematic big personality. Not that I think all the people I just listed are problematic, but like they're controversial or maybe they're making enemies or whatever it may or may not be. And Corey was just like lightness. You know yeah. what I mean? Color commentary, great narrator. We don't really have a great narrator besides him, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, we've got some people trying, like at least on the female yeah. side. With Huey being gone, I feel like we're going to see now Corey kind of be like the main narrator on the guy side. But it's mainly, yeah, it's just kind of been like females that are sort of like what I've perceived now as like the main yeah. narrators. None of the other guys really have, I mean, Callum's been kind of funny here and there. James has had some funny, like,
yeah, James is entertaining, but yeah. they sprinkle him in. You know what I mean? I can't figure out how much of a main character or not he is. Like, mm-hmm. he seems more so than some of the others because they've had a lot of James centered plot points, but he also disappears sometimes.
Yeah. So, like, there's really been, like, not that, like, one person that's, like, just you follow them, like, almost they give their viewpoint on almost everything going on. Type of thing now that Huey's gone, and we were kind of going to surprise yeah. Corey step into that role. Oh my god, Huey sang in that club scene about Raven when he was like, oh, I can't trust her as far as I can throw her, and I can't throw anybody, I've got no muscles.
That's what made the challenge so great, you know, like those fun little zingers, like when Paula's like, you know, we all came down for breakfast, but CT came down for blood or whatever the, I don't know, I'm butchering the quote somewhat, but you know, like just those one-liners and stuff. I'm curious, like, what's your take? This is kind of a step aside, but it's kind of on topic in my mind. What's your take on Jay? Because Jay is the one who's probably been on the most challenges or has like kind of infiltrated the challenge fabric, you know what I mean? If you will, the most out of everything. But he's, I don't really have a strong opinion on him either way, but it feels like he's also barely in this season, which feels like a weird choice because he's one of the true vets from like past seasons. So like, I'm so confused about what Jay's role in this entire season is, and like,
no, you hit it on the head. You hit it on the head because I came into this fully expecting Jay to be like the I kind of knew like the way the advertisement was that like I think they wanted Horacio to kind of be like the face, but I thought at its core that Jay was going to be like the main figure point because I would argue that if you're just going to show a casual fan this season and like ask them to identify people, if there's somebody who's not following all these other shows, they probably identify Jay first off the bat as for the guy at least. But you know, to your point, I kind of feel the same way. He's largely kind of felt like a bit of a just background character, almost like not there.
Yeah. Well, it's just different because we're so used to him being thrown in kind of consistently, right? Like he was always a target. So maybe he's kind of like a big dog comparatively because he has like enough connections and maybe is intimidating enough to like the rookie versions of what this season is. Mm-hmm. That would be like my wild guess that like the drama with him will come maybe halfway through the season when somebody tries to throw him in or something personal happened. I don't know, but it's just, I really like you going in. I thought he would be like a main character.
No, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I mean, hey, if it's working for him with the game, at least, you know, good for him. More power to him because, I mean, you know, it may not be making for, like, the most compelling thing to watch, but for his personal standpoint, I mean, after seeing as what happened to your first, like, three seasons, I mean, I think it's probably in his best interest to kind of be doing what he's been doing.
He's probably loving it, regardless of the edit. He's probably loving that in real time when he was filming, how much he's flying under the radar.
And then, you know, we spoke last time when we spoke about kind of how the edit does a very good job of foreshadowing things. Like they like breadcrumb things and like kind of let you follow it. We saw that again in a few different instances, but especially from the top of the episode, because the episode essentially started with like Corey and Aesop like eating dinner or whatever, and then they were kind of like letting you know that like these guys have been like attached at the hip and are becoming like good friends and whatever. And then we talked, or Aesop talked about how, you know, Corey is like his best friend in the game, and they wanted you to believe that, you know, heading into this episode, which, you know, we ultimately saw kind of how that came to a head, which we're going to get into. But before we get into that, they then pivot the game into what they're calling chaos, which I don't know necessarily what this fully entails, but I know that they had them be paired for the daily challenge. So does chaos mean that it's now like pairs going forward for the foreseeable future? Like, I'm not sure entirely.
I don't know, because now they're going to have an odd number of people anyway for the next daily challenge. So wait, but question, I may have missed this actually. I'm just realizing this now. Was there a prize pot to be won, or was it just the people who won got power? Because, you know, they were like trying to add money to their final bank account. Like, did that even happen this episode?
I don't think so, because considering it was only paired.
Yeah. I don't know how that would work.
I know that the elimination had money at stake.
Right, because Jordan got to take the 10,000.
Yeah, but as far as the daily challenge goes, I didn't remember them saying anything about money. I think it was just simply power.
It's a little bit of a weird format, in my opinion. Like, it's not awful, but it's like, we don't really know where it's going. Like, chaos just felt like, okay, it's paired now, and it's kind of a zany daily challenge, and now we're bringing in these mercenaries. I think that's what chaos means, but it's still not even super clear. It's kind of a failed execution, in my opinion. Like, I don't think it's totally working, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't think they've really established what it is. I think it was sort of just like a, you know, let's just throw this name out because it might sound good on a marketing thing for a trailer leading into the episode. I personally, with this chaos thing, I think chaos is going to be sort of like, could be anything on any given day. Sort of like, you might find it be paired. It could be individual. Yeah. It could be this. So that's what I think chaos is going to be. Mostly just because you pointed out that we're now having odd number of people heading into the next one. So I'm like, okay, they can't conceivably pair them up, because that would leave like what, one person in the end would be left out, unless this is the only way I could see this working, is if they tell you like, okay, you pick your partner like yourself, and whoever doesn't end up with a partner is automatically in an elimination, and then they get to call out who they go against.
Maybe like musical chairs or something. Or
yeah, that's the only way I could see that working.
Or like, was it Double Agents or Spies, Lies, and Allies, where like, or one of those where you would have or was it even, I don't even know, it maybe it was Ride or Dies, God, I don't even know. But there was one where it felt like there was often somebody who would not participate in the daily challenge until they got a new partner, but they were not going to be eliminated.
Double Agents.
Double Agents. Okay. I watched them all kind of back to back, so they're all kind of soupy to me in my brain. I'm like, oh no, which one was which? But yeah.
I'm like back and forth on what that idea, if that I just said, if I would like that to happen, because like, I thought that Double Agents got really convoluted with the whole partner stuff.
A little bit.
Like, it just kind of felt a little too like over the top, all over the place. So I don't know if I would necessarily like that. However, it could be interesting if like done correctly. But again, I'm really just like old fashioned, like simple and clear and cut and dry works for me. You know, we saw with this daily challenge, we had some really strong pairings, and they were picked randomly. On surface, I think many would have thought that, like, we would have seen, like, either Kieran and Zara win or, like, Emmanuel and Berna, but Corey and Raven actually won this daily challenge. And yeah. I think now we're kind of seeing, like, I'm willing to be on record saying this. I feel like Corey is, like, has the makings to be a modern day Frank.
Oh. For some reason, my brain went to Frank from like Gauntlet 3 for a second. I'm like, and then I was like, San Diego Frank. Very different animal. I think he's nicer than Frank.
That's
more well intending. I'll put that on record. But I agree in the sense of, I was wondering, like, is he, because in his first season, he felt like such a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he still feels like a nice human to me. Like, I do still like Corey, but he's kind of almost in this villain position now.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if it's he's just playing kind of a messy game or if he's maniacal and it's like a part of a bigger plan. Do you know what? Like, I'm having a little trouble reading the room that he's in right now.
Well, you could definitely tell he spent time coming into this season to like, well, mentally prepare, because like he really like knows like meticulously. And I think he's actually someone who's like a longtime fan of the show. So he probably knows like the ins and outs and whatnot. So he's definitely like, got a leg up on majority of people when it comes to like the, you know, mental side of the game. Like he knows like what he's doing. Cause like, you know, when he threw or decided to throw an ace off, he was thinking about it from like the aspect that like, if I was in that present moment and then TJ was just like, all right, pick somebody to go in, I wouldn't be thinking on the top of my head, like, well, this guy that I've been kind of befriended for the past couple of weeks, who I've built a close relationship with, he's not very well connected, like, now. So he's got like a least shot of, you know, maybe coming back or whatever, let's just say. Or not even that, but like me saying someone else's name who is better connected, despite me having a closer relationship with this person, would hurt me more. So I'm going to throw my close friend in.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't have thought about that on the spot. I would have, as soon as TJ would have asked me in that moment, like throw someone in, my mind immediately would have been like, oh, let me throw in somebody who's working on the opposite alliance, like
right,
one of the UK people. So the fact that he was like, his brain like was able to register this, it's like you could tell like how it's really impressive. Like he's really thinking, like he's really playing chess and the rest of them are playing checkers. So good for him.
Oh yeah. Which is like what you said. I mean, like Frank is a very smart man, love him or hate him. And Corey seems like a very smart man as well. You know, that was my favorite plot twist of the season so far, when TJ was like right here, right now, chooses. I love it when he pulls that stuff, because to me, I don't care if it's control or chaos or whatever. Like, that's not interesting to me. But when, and sometimes a lot of other plot twists are so over the top that you know it's just for ratings or to be sensational. But this is like, in my opinion, the best types of plot twists, because they don't have a lot of time to confer with their allies. Yeah. They don't, like, they just kind of have to make a decision. And if, especially in this case where they weren't working with the same people, mm-hmm. there's going to be drama. Like, that's the best way to ensure organic drama without being super over the top. So I like that a lot. That was my favorite part of the season, the episode, to be honest.
I mean, admittedly, I could give two shits less about chaos or any of this like nonsense. Like, I just want, like you said, I just want something like that I could sink my teeth into without having to, yes. like my head going 1,000 different places. Like, just, you know, be as simple as like a cut and dry format. And then if you want to like on the spot do that to them, then that's brilliant for me. But like, I don't really care for like the all this fancy terminology and like trying to figure out what's gonna happen this week, and wow. then being like, oh well, this, like, let's just keep it simple.
But
Corey picked Aesop. So I want to ask you, like, do you feel like where is your head at as far as like this conflict here? Do you feel like Corey was do you feel like Aesop was justified in feeling very angry with Corey?
Ooh, kind of complicated thoughts. On one hand, I think anyone is justified to be upset that they're thrown in, right? Mm-hmm. Especially yeah. if it's with somebody that they felt safer with. Like, I would never gaslight someone's feelings over that. That said, though, I lost a little bit of respect for Aesop in this episode. I felt like he took it a little far with, like, how upset he just lost control of his emotions entirely, in my opinion. And like, before this episode, I just thought he was like a nice enough human. He wasn't really on my radar though much either way. So I forget what it was, but there was like a dramatic moment in particular that I was just kind of like, all right, dude, sit down, like take a breath, you know?
Wait, are you talking about when he was asking everybody if they felt they were closer to him?
Yeah, that was definitely one of them, if not the one. There's like a few moments where I was like, seriously, dude, like calm the fuck down, you know? But like, that was a little ridiculous. Like, and what's with like all these deliberations? Because like a couple weeks ago, it was Chauncey being like, have I ever screwed you over? Now it's like, they're just pulling everyone. Like, it's weird.
Honestly, I think every deliberation's been a hot mess thus far. Yes. Every single one of them.
So glad you said that, because the other reason why I think all the deliberations are kind of a hot mess, and then I want to ask you about your thoughts about Aesop, but like, in all honesty, there's a problem with having so many relative newbies. I won't call them rookies because they've all done a season or two, but like, in terms of like this challenge, the USA MTV flagship challenge, not all of them have like done it either. And it just feels like it's a lot of guesses. Every episode, the deliberation, it's people trying to make these like calculated chess like decisions and staying ahead of things. But because they don't even know the rules of the game, they just throw every option out there. Like, well, girls could go in too. Or what about this? Or what about that? Like, every episode has had a version of that. And it just feels like it's a lot of rookies not knowing what they're doing. And that also makes it a little hard because there's not the resistance of the vets who do.
Yeah, it just kind of feels like they're all sort of like, I don't get the vibe when I watch these deliberations. Like, in past seasons, you really, it jumps out at the screen, like you've got like your chiefs, right? Like you're,
yeah,
that like lead the deliberations, and like people are leading deliberations, but it really doesn't feel like they're like,
They're just starting them.
Like, there's no icebreaker. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no like bravado, you know, where it's like, yeah. But What do you think about Aesop and his reaction? Was it warranted or not so much?
I'll say this. I'm glad it happened because from a television entertainment perspective, we needed it.
Agreed.
It was sorely needed, and I'm glad that it took place. Now, from a personal and, you know, like a human standpoint, I think maybe part of it could be like a cultural barrier thing. Like, I don't know, because Aesop's like, he's from like Israel, so I don't really know like what the culture there, like maybe like he interpreted that as like more of a betrayal than like maybe a king thing. Maybe that's the case. Like, I don't, you know, I'm just assuming here. I don't know for a fact, but that could have been the case. I would probably be a little annoyed if I was in his shoes. Right. But I'm not like super outspoken with like the name calling and stuff. So I probably would have kept that closer to my vest and probably been like, it would have been something I would have kept note of, but I would have kept my cards close to me. So.
Which also feels like a vet mentality to do just that. This is again, kind of a rookie mentality where it's just like, they're just emotions are ruling the roost and they're just taking all these educated guesses and not realizing that they're making themselves marks for the future, like targets. Mm-hmm. So.
If I was in Aesop's shoes, I would have said nothing. I'd have been like, I'd have been observant, but I would have kept it close to my, you know, vest. I would have kept a mental note of it. If he wants to still call out a strong player, and let's just say he does go into elimination, obviously he doesn't. We'll get into that. Had Aesop been the one down there in elimination, and if he comes back, automatically the house views him as, well, this guy didn't take a big move like that personal, and he went down into elimination and took out a strong player.
Yeah,
he's earned his stripes. He's somebody that we can rely on. And then if the time does come later down the line where Aesop does get into power, then you pull that card over.
Right.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you remember what you did to me 5 weeks ago? Well,
you.
Yeah. You're done.
Yeah. No, agreed entirely. Yeah, agreed entirely. Mm-hmm. Sure. But it was really funny to have also Corey be like, I met you 2 weeks ago. Like,
that was
a great line. Because it's like, I kind of get Corey's point of view too. It's a game. And if they just met, he doesn't owe him his life, you know? So that's what I liked about this drama. I kind of understood both sides. But I think you know, Aesop was more in the wrong, I guess, with how he handled it.
Yeah, I've got a really I mean, by the time this drops, my tweet will probably already be out. Because I scheduled my tweets for the episode. The tweet for this is going to, I've got a couple of them actually. And I want you to tell me on the spot, and anybody listening to this, if you think these were creative. But the first one was Aesop and Corey has to be the messiest challenge relationship since Paula and Dunbar. And I won't be told otherwise.
I like that. That's a hill I feel fine dying on.
Yeah. And then the other one was, if nothing else after this episode, I need to see Corey and Aesop in an elimination. Put them in a gulag, a ring, put them in a Walmart parking lot.
At this point.
Just give it to me. I don't care how we get it, where we get it. Just give it to me.
I agree. I completely agree. Oh my God. Those are good.
Yeah. Perfecting my tweeting. Because I never in years past was much of a tweeter as far as episodes go. But, you know, I decided, you know, if I'm going to be here in the midst of it, I might as well have some fun with it.
I need to start doing that too, man. I need to be more of an active.
Because it keeps you like more like held accountable. Because like subconsciously you're thinking like, oh, I wonder what this guy is going to have to say as far as this next episode goes. But
yeah,
Michelle got really mad. And we were talking about comparisons a lot within the past weeks, and I don't want to take this legend's name in vain because she's one of a kind, Paula Walnuts, but Michelle has characteristics that remind me of Paula because like they're both like, I mean, Paula was iconic, but for what it was, she did kind of be a little paranoid when it came to like certain game stuff.
Yeah,
he was very frantic in the game socially, and Michelle kind of gives me like those vibes, not in a bad way. Like, it's completely rational to kind of be like worried about, like, with all the twists that we've seen over the years about the possibility of like your name like ending up getting dragged into something, like, because, you know, they were all worried about like, oh, like, you know, she's partnered with Aesop, so what if they turn around and say like,
right,
the way you're going to. But I don't know. Do you feel like she got overly upset, I should say, at Corey?
Yeah, I think a little bit. Like, I see her point of view. Like, I do get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I kind of get Corey's point of view because all TJ said was it's a men's elimination round. So that's where his brain went, especially on the spot. If you've ever been on the spot, whether it's trying to answer, like, a pop quiz orally or you're trying to, like, just come up with trivia at a bar or whatever, sometimes, like, common sense evades you, you know, or, like, not even common sense, but just, like, looking at the whole picture. So I get why it didn't even dawn on him. But I get that we don't know the rules of the game as, you know, the contestants don't either. So it's like, I get why she was paranoid, but I think she let it get the best of her. I think that would have been like, if you and me were on a challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have this pre-existing friendship, right? And then you did what Corey did to Michelle, but to me, I think I would just pull you aside. I wouldn't be like stewing. I would just kind of be like, hey, Mike, did you consider the possibility that that's my partner and maybe I'll get thrown in too? We don't really, we're in the chaos part of the game. Like, what's going on? And then that way, like, we just know to not do that in the future, to be mindful of how to look out for each other's back on the fly or something. Yeah. But I don't think Corey did that in, like, a vicious way. I don't think he was trying to hurt her. It was just, like, it didn't, and he seemed genuinely upset about, like, how people reacted to who he chose. And, like, I was like, I don't know what I could have done, and I feel bad. I didn't want to hurt anyone. Like, he seemed upset to me. So I'm a little more on Corey's side, but I'm not mad at Michelle either. What about you?
I mean, listen, a guy asked me and laid out the rules, and I gave an answer. So as far as I'm concerned, Corey was in the right. Michelle had reason to be kind of, you know, worried, but, like, not to the point where she, like, I felt like made Corey feel like complete shit.
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. We also saw in the club the potential seeds and, you know, seeds being planted with another potential romance. Well, not even potential. I mean, in real time, they're actually a full-blown couple. So we know, like, this was basically the beginning of it. Nerys and Horacio.
They're together now? I didn't
know. They've been dating together since the show. So, yeah.
Ah, what a beautiful couple. My God, they're both gorgeous specimens.
Listen, I'm very comfortable with myself, and I could say the same. So.
Yeah.
good for them. Yeah. And then, you know, we spoke about the deliberation before. Aesop decided to, you know, go for broke here and decide, oh, I want to go against who everybody believes is the strongest. And wanted to go against Kieran. I never saw Kieran because apparently Kieran was on Challenge Australia. I've never watched any of the other spinoffs aside from like Austin. So I literally, when everybody's referring to him like this god, like maybe he is, respectfully, I don't know. Like, I didn't know that. And just from what I've seen so far, I don't know if it's like the rest of the people holding him back. I wasn't like he's never blown me away in the challenges so far. Like, again, it could have just been him being held back by partners and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And maybe he didn't really get a full chance to show himself. But like, they were like talking about him as if like he was like the be all end all like challenger. Mm-hmm. And I just like, not that I haven't seen it, but like, I just like, I don't know. He just never really stood out to me. So that's why when everybody was talking about like, oh my God, he wants to go against Kieran. Oh, you're toast. Like, I don't know. I was just kind of like, yeah, I'm sure he's a strong competitor, but like, I don't know. I hadn't seen it so far. And obviously, you know, the elimination showed me that like, yeah, he's got some, he was able to back it up. But like prior to that, like I was kind of like, well, if you want to go against like the best or strongest person, I feel like Horacio possibly would have been like the guy to take out. But
I was gonna say that too, because I think Horacio, I said this, maybe both of us did in the first episode of us doing this, like he will win a challenge one day. I just don't know if it's this season or not, but like I would be more shocked if he didn't. He's the most well-rounded, I think, out of all the new people. But I mean, like, I wonder though if Kieran was such a target for being the best, because he was also somebody who in at least the earlier challenges was really good at strategizing like how they were going to do stuff. Like he's kind of like a leader of sorts, mm-hmm. and then knowing that he came in second, whether they've seen it or not, maybe just has like a certain air of like, this guy is successful and athletic and we got to get out. But it's hard to your point because a lot of these people are new, at least to our eyes, if you know, especially if they've been on like global challenges that we may or may not have seen as viewers here in America. So it's really, I've talked a lot about stakes and how it doesn't always feel like there's like stakes for me, at least, because I don't know who to root for. But there also isn't stakes in the sense of like you don't even know what you're signing up for when two people are going to be in an elimination. Like you don't know what the odds are of who's going to win or who's going to do well. Like it's like because we don't know their abilities. So it's, I get what, he hasn't, I don't think most people, no, not a lot of people have been blown out, blowing other people out of the water this season. It's all kind of like a mess. Like they all are fine. They're all very athletic for the most part. There's not any layups, but like, I don't know who's the best besides Horacio. Like, I don't.
That's gotta suck for Kieran too, because my interpretation is had a soft not been like so vocal about wanting to go against him, he was probably sitting pretty as far as
I
like
think so
we
too.
would have probably been seeing Emmanuel in eliminate. That's who
Oh,
probably,
maybe.
because Emmanuel got the next most votes
Yeah.
in there. Had Kieran's name not been brought up, it probably would have been like a more unanimous thing that Emmanuel would have been in there against Aesop. Well, against Aesop, would have been one of them against Jordan,
Right.
assuming Emmanuel against Jordan.
Yeah.
And then as we saw, we didn't obviously get that matchup because, first mercenary of the season came in and it was Jordan. So this brought me back to when I told you before the recording, I had an idea of sort of like what could have been a cool mercenary concept is if what if the mercenaries they brought in were non-champions but were veterans. Like, for example, say like Paulie comes in as like a mercenary and they're able to win their spot into the game
Oh, that would have
by
been
beating like
cool.
a contender.
Yeah. Like a Nani, a Josh, yeah.
Like there
The
have been
only
more
reason,
stakes at least, I feel.
yeah, the only reason why I wonder if they didn't go that route is I could see if I were Nani and I've been on like 11 seasons or whatever it's been at this point. I don't know if I'd, because eliminations, no matter how athletic and smart and all the things you are, they're chancy, right?
Right.
I don't know if I'd want to sign up for potentially losing and then not even getting into the house with all these like other newbies. Like, because I think there is some ego involved after a certain point. And I'm not saying that's good or bad, that's just neutral and protecting your brand, your legacy. Like, even Jordan was talking about it. Like, oh no, I'm not going to go easy on these people. I have a legacy to protect. I have a reputation to protect. So I can see if you're already kind of an underdog, but a vet because you haven't won, I can see that being kind of nerve-wracking and maybe being hard to agree to. But I like the idea though. I like your idea.
And this was a really good elimination too, like really competitive. Like I'd probably say this might have been the best like mercenary elimination we've seen since like Derek and Joss.
Yeah, that was a really good one. It was, yeah, I have to admit though, when they brought in Jordan, I was like, whoever he's going against is probably gonna lose. You know, it was sort of like I wasn't convinced either one. Part of it because I don't know their abilities, but I was like, I have the feeling Jordan's gonna win this one because he's pretty damn good at eliminations. Unless his handicap actually really does handicap. That's usually the only times he loses. So,
Which I mean, but Kieran did give him a good fight. Like, I think he took the first round, and then like Jordan gave him like 2 points at the start of the second,
yeah.
and then like just blew him out the second round. And then I thought the
Yeah.
third round was like relatively close from what I remember.
Yeah, it wasn't like a blowout, but Jordan definitely won though, for sure. Like, no questions asked.
I don't know. I mean, like, Kieran had a lot of praise before that, and I wasn't sure like if that was just like, cockiness or if like he was actually good, but I think he proved like he was definitely like at least somewhat of the real deal in this elimination. Like I feel like had it been Aesop and Kieran, I think Kieran probably would have won that, honestly.
Oh, I think so too,
I
because I
think he
don't think
probably would have beat
Aesop's had
anybody
any.
up there other than like maybe Horacio.
Yeah, that would have been quite the matchup. I agree, and I'm kind of sad he did get eliminated because as much as like we were just saying, we don't totally know his athletic ability. Despite that, like he was a personality that I kind of latched onto so far in the first five or however many episodes we've watched. Like, I liked him. He seemed interesting, and he also was pretty athletic, at least enough to be like, oh, maybe he could go far. So first Huey and now Karen, like all these people, I'm kind of like, I'm like the kiss of death. I feel like if I start
Yeah,
liking
no,
people,
you gotta
I'm probably gonna
stop
go home.
rooting for people.
Yeah, I just gotta stop rooting for any of them, I
Yeah,
guess.
you gotta root against them so that
Yeah,
way
or I
they.
gotta start rooting for the people that I don't like, and then maybe
Yeah.
oh.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I said this a couple weeks ago to you. I don't hate the mercenaries coming in, but like part of me, like I'm having like buyer's remorse because I'm like kind of wish it, because like yeah, mercenaries are cool and they're like recognizable people throughout the years and stuff, and it's cool to see them. It's always a big like welcomed moment. But like they're not actively a part of the storylines or like the plots, so it doesn't, it kind of like takes away from like the investment of the elimination, I feel like, because they don't have anything to lose themselves, the mercenaries.
No, and it's not enough fun for us as viewers to watch them get $10,000 or just not get any money. Like, that's not that exciting. That's good for them, but like as a viewer, it's kind of like, who cares?
Yeah.
I think it's more interesting when they get to enter the game.
Yeah, if, like they ha if there was somebody with any real stakes in the game, I would be like, "Oh, this is cool." But the fact that they don't have that is kind of like, all right, you're just kind of they're like hired hitmen to come and take out these like people that are
And
actually like.
I'm not convinced that, okay, we don't know. This is the first episode, so maybe I'm gonna get egg on my face here, but I think most of the mercenaries, because from what I can tell, they're pretty stacked. I think they're gonna take out most of the prospects. Like, I don't think, unless it's Horacio, I don't know. I don't think that they're it's an uphill battle for the
Yeah.
people on the show, in my opinion, to win against these like Jordan, CTs, Cara Maria's. You know what I mean? Like, I don't
Yeah.
know. We'll see. We'll see. But
Yeah, I'm kind of wishing that they weren't coming in now. Shoot me, I don't care.
yeah, it's not adding any. Like, it's good to see a familiar face because that's one of my big complaints about this season. But you're right. It's not really adding much to the storyline. Maybe we'll change our mind after the next episode or two now that the cast knows that these mercenaries are for sure coming. But did you notice in the edit when TJ was starting to announce that like Jordan was going to come, especially Jay, but it felt like a few other people too? It's like they suspected that this was going to happen at any
Yeah.
moment. Like, they weren't jaws on the ground. Oh my God, I didn't see that coming. There wasn't even a ton of like
No, there was no
confessions.
surprise really at all.
No, it was even anticlimactic. It was just like, oh, yep, this is when they bring, because they've brought in either mercenaries and or just like vets halfway through a season a couple times now. So there was no way
Last
anyone that
season
was
they were
brain.
bringing people in like
Well,
team.
yeah.
Last season, yeah, last season they brought in like three different, I think like three different pairs of ride or die,
Yeah.
like midway through. Not as
That's
mercenaries,
right.
they didn't take anybody out, but they were added into the game.
That's right. Johnny and Nani and
Nani, Veronica, and
Anissa.
Darrell.
Yeah, Anissa and Jordan. Yeah, that's totally right. So it's kind of like, yeah, they knew if they paid attention and they were smart that at some point there was going to be some kind of shakeup. It's just, I don't know if this is as fun of a shake. It's a good idea on paper, but I think the execution of it's just kind of wild and
Yeah.
not really working.
And that was funny how they foreshadowed too, Kieran, like having that conversation, not knowing who Jordan was. And
I know, I noticed that too. I was like, I didn't in real time like put two and two together. I wish I did, but the second that it was Jordan, I'm like, oh, good thing he got debriefed on who Jordan is, and just enough to get intimidated probably.
yeah, I mean, we'll have to see what happens remaining with this episode. I need to see like I want to see more like drama, I think. I don't know. I want to see like the Aesop and Corey thing was cool. I want to see more storylines. Like I want to be more
Yeah.
invested in these characters, I think.
I do too. Or have like what about Michelle, and I always forget the guy's name that she's
Callum.
Callum. Yeah. Like where are they at? What's going on? Is this other girlfriend going to be revealed? Like, they've really
Need some
left a
phone
lot of
calls. We need some phone calls to home with that girl.
Yes, because at least with like Bear or like any of the other cheating cheaters who cheat, like that was sort of low-key sprinkled in each episode, even if it wasn't a whole plot point dedicated. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much happening. And so I'm ready for there to be a purge, in all honesty, because every episode, like I learned somebody else is on the cast that my brain did not store. Like I just remembered who Zara was. I'm like, oh yeah, there's someone named Zara. Oh, okay.
we're just kind of seeing like just people just there a lot of the times.
Yeah. Like, hence there's not a lot of stakes or drama.
Like even last episode, I granted it was only episode 3, but like Huhui, the one who lost to Raven.
Oh yeah.
Like she really wasn't like the one who you know what I'm talking about, like she was Spanish speaking and like
yeah, I already forgot about her though. Like I was gonna ask you, I'm like, I know Huhui got eliminated in our little hiatus, but I'm like, who was the girl that did? I don't even, these people, I'm not saying they're not memorable because it could be the edit slash there's just so many people, but I don't know who these people are. I'm like, okay. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. All right, everybody. This was a another episode recap. We hope you guys are enjoying the season thus far. If you are, power to you. We're kind of
at least enjoying our recaps if you're kind of
it's something to kind of keep us, you know, in tuned and held accountable. So we'll we'll be following along with the rest of the season. And until next time, thank you all.